Pray that my altar boy stays awake long enough to do communion. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? I really shouldn't pick on him, but he's just too good of a target. Well, Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his passion when he took those stripes on his back to pay for our healing. His body was pierced, he was beaten, he was bruised. His sinless body took everything. And his body was broken. And he had us on his mind all the time. And then he got on that cross and he took the full wrath of God's punishment for our sins, the punishment that was meant for us. He took it all. Father, we thank you that you treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that now you can treat us the way he deserved to be treated. We thank you for this, for taking us for our healing, in Jesus' name. Jesus shed his blood on purpose. He didn't spill it. It was a bloody sacrifice. He did it on purpose for us. His blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. He's completely washed away all of our sins. All of them. And his blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And we are protected by his blood. Salvation is through his blood and his name, and we thank you for it. Here's a curious thing. Somebody might get some freedom if you're watching, or if you're watching on the video, or maybe somebody in here even, maybe sometimes has a hard time taking communion, and they're always confessing their sins, asking God to forgive them, you know, and then somebody tells them about 1 John 1:9. Thing you need to realize about 1 John 1:9 is the word sins right there. Is a noun. That means you are a sinner because of Adam. Period. That's just the way it was. Amen. So when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, right there, that's what it takes to be born again. Amen. And then you're born again. So what about the other times he talks about sins? That's a verb. Where it says, he continually cleanses you from all sins. All your day-to-day mishaps, he continually cleanses you from all sins. The blood of Jesus. If you walk in the light, if he is in the light, he continually cleanses you from all sins. That's good news. Amen? That doesn't give you a license to be an idiot, but it has you covered. You know, so sometimes you blow your top, you're covered. Amen. All right, let's continue on with our Bible study that we've been doing here for a while. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And remember, we're talking basically about identifying with Jesus. He identified with us. We need to identify with Him. You know, one thing about identification with Christ, here's identifying with His humanity, one of the fastest ways to identify with Jesus and get yourself on the right track is Philippians 4:19, where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You just identified yourself with Him. And now, you're doing the same thing Jesus did. Remember, He said, it's not me that does these works, it's the Father in me that does these works. He was attributing it to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, now we ended last Sunday where it said, His divine attributes and outward powers that He had with the Father from eternity, He left those behind. This is important stuff to understand. Because Jesus said to go into all the world, preach the gospel, all creatures, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. He said to do that. So if He told you to cast out devils, then you absolutely have the ability to do that. But it's in Him. It's always in Christ. It's always in Him. It's not of ourselves. You know something? It's not because we spent the last 30 days fasting and praying and reading the Bible till our eyes crossed. It's God. This is put the glory where it belongs. God put the praise where it belongs. It's God. God put His glory on the church, and we put our praise on Him. Here's the thing. Jesus had no power to do miracles until He received the Holy Spirit in all fullness. Look at John chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. That was His very first miracle. Jesus did not do one single miracle until after He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that when Jesus got down there to John in the... I got a praise report. I got to stop. You know what I just did? I just read my Bible without my glasses on. That is so cool. I haven't done that for several years. You know, take communion, and if you get a little bit of healing, praise God for it. And take it again and get a little bit of healing and praise God for it. You know, you can receive miracles. I've received miracles. You know, instantaneous miracles. Boom. It's really cool. And I've received healing a little bit at a time. And either one is okay. I got to admit, when you know... I wanted an instantaneous miracle when I was running around with that patch on my eye. I'm about ready to go crazy, but here's the thing. Keep thanking God and keep praising Him, and then look what happens. He made it even better. He's not even done fixing it, and it's already better than what it was. That is cool. I just had to stop there for a second. But notice this. Jesus didn't do any miracles until after He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that when He got down to the river to get baptized by John, God looked down on Him and said, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." Now we know that it is impossible to please God without faith. So evidently Jesus lived his life in faith. Amen? He was in right standing with God because he had never sinned, not one time. That means he was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what righteousness means. He was in right standing with God. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he started doing miracles. And he happened to get water baptism and baptism of the Holy Spirit pretty much the same time. You know, that's possible. You can do that. I've known of a few good old Southern Baptists that had that happen to them. And they, you know, they were just believing God for everything they could get when they got in that water. And then they started speaking in tongues. And then they decided they better knock that off. But whatever. My friend, he got it both at the same time. He got dunked and come up speaking in tongues. You can do it. You can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit before you get water baptized. The only thing you got to do first is get born again. You can go get baptized in water before you get born again, and you're still just a wet sinner. Amen. Might be a little cleaner, but you're still just a wet sinner. Look at John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he got the full thing. Amen. Now here's the thing. People running around thinking, well, I just got a little bit of it. And I just, no. You know, when you got baptized with the Holy Spirit, you got all of him. Well, why am I operating in all of him? Because you don't know about all of him. How much time do you spend looking at certain things and meditating on it and then operating in it? You know, I wondered about this, you know, because these preachers run around saying, well, he just gives you these gifts severally as he will. You know, you can only operate in two or three gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so somebody would identify something maybe that they had something in common with, I guess. And so then they'd focus on the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Some of them would focus on the word of, on the miracles and on healing and stuff. Well, what they focused on was what they had the most revelation of, and that's what manifested in their lives. And what really brought this home to me was Benny Hinn. You know, you've all seen him on TV. He operates in miracles and healings. And there was another pastor, I can't remember his name, but he was a prosperity gospel preacher. And they were both on the same set at the same time talking. And this prosperity gospel preacher started talking about finances, and Benny just looked at him like he was from another planet. It was almost like it was something foreign to him, because that's not something that he had spent a lot of time studying. He was studying miracles and healings and stuff. But look at it in the natural. If you study math every day for the next 6 months, and that's all you look at, and go to school, and they put a science test in front of you, how do you suppose it's going to go? Probably not well. Same thing, if that's all you look at is one subject of the gospel and you don't pay any attention to the other parts of the gospel, this other part goes neglected. You don't get a revelation of it. You're not going to operate in it. We have whole denominations that fail to look at the whole gospel. So then they don't receive the full benefits of the gospel. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. You know, I thought it was strange this morning when I was back there putting my notes together. I had my glasses on and everything was blurry. I thought, man, am I going to have to get stronger glasses or what's going on? And I was trying to adjust everything and it just wasn't working. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. You know something? Jesus could do nothing of himself in all his earthly life. He attributed all to the works of his Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said that. He said, it's not me, it's my Father in me. But we have people going to church every Sunday all over the world. When you start talking about miracles and healings and all this stuff, they say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Well, yeah. A righteous man that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he went about doing good and healing all that world pressed to the devil. That's you. You identify with him. When you get born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what happens when you get born again. And then you go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It means you get endued with power so that you can go out into the mission field and do what he asked you to do. Amen? Unfortunately, a lot of circles, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about swinging from the chandeliers, rolling around on the floor, speaking in tongues. And you would think in some circles that that is all that he brought to the church, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's part of it. That's important. But it's the endowment of power so that you can have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you're witnessing to somebody, ministering to somebody, that you have that bountiful blessing like Jesus to be able to meet whatever need has arose. Amen? He got it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. See, he was telling them, said, I don't do anything of myself, it's the Father in me. Now we can understand John chapter 14, verse 12. So whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, you don't have to be a Holy Ghost hot rod. You don't have to have 15 books of the Bible memorized by heart. You know, you don't even have to know the address. That's one of my biggest pet peeves when preachers hold people to an address. Give me the address and give it in exact form. No, you don't have to do that. You have to know his word. You have to know his numbers, you have to know his word. Who cares what chapter and verse it's in when God said he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son? Nobody needs to know what number that is. They just need to know that word. That number is not going to do anything for them. A lot of the preachers running around holding people to that don't even know the address to the important scriptures. You know, John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that's the most important scripture you're ever going to learn. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I know that's not exactly the way it's written in there, but that's the word. Amen? And you don't have to have the whole verse. You don't have to have the whole verse memorized. You just have the other important parts. You know, I know a dear woman, she had a stroke, a full-blown stroke. And all she could say, her mouth quit moving. But she could say covenant. That's all she could say, covenant. She said covenant. And she kept saying covenant, covenant. She come out of it and she went to the doctor. And the doctor did a full exam on her, you know, took all these x-rays and stuff. And he said, he come back in there and he was shocked. He said, you had a major stroke. She said, I know. And he said, but, because he's looking at her and she's talking perfectly, moving perfectly. And he said, but you had a stroke, a major stroke. She said, yeah, I know. But he kept saying it to her like, you're supposed to be laying here doing the dying chicken or something, you know. You're not supposed to be talking to me, walking around. That's all she could say was covenant, but she had her faith released in that. She knew she had a covenant with God. Amen? Praise God. You know, this stuff, identifying with Jesus, you know, we need to have proof of his humanity. You know, to identify with him, we need to have proof of his humanity to go about our daily life. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. See, if it was just Jesus, if it was him in his deity doing these miracles and doing all these healings and raising the dead and doing all this stuff, if it was him in his deity, if it was him as God, then we could sit here in the pew and say, well, that was Jesus, you know, I'm not qualified to do that. But if we look at it as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then that puts it in our ballpark. That puts the responsibility upon us to go ahead and do what the Bible says and go ahead and go out there and do it. Amen? After all, it's him doing the doing anyway. We just do the asking. Sometimes we look at some challenges and say, this is just too much for me. Well, it is. Tell you the truth, it is. But Christ in you can handle the situation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know something? Jesus was limited. He was limited to the status of a man. You know, in case you haven't noticed, we got some limitations. You know, a big difference between Jesus and the Holy Ghost? Jesus can only be in one place at one time. But he said, it's expedient that I go to the Father so that I can send the Comforter to you. When he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere all the time. I don't care what part of the world you land in, the power to get somebody born again is there. The Holy Spirit, he's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what dark alley you may go down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You ever wonder what that means? Fear of death, subject to bondage? You know, when death is a mystery to man. We were not created to die. We were not supposed to die. Only until Adam ate of that fruit, you know, God had to kick him out of the garden so he didn't eat of the tree of life and then live forever in that sin state. That's why people are afraid to die, because it's unknown. It's a mystery to them. That's why so many unbelievers are terrified by death. Here's the thing, there's a lot of Christians that are terrified by death too. They don't understand that they've already done all the dying they're going to do. See, when they got born again, they got immediately brought to life. And now Paul said, oh death, where is your sting? See, you should have absolutely no fear of death. What a lot of Christians are worried about is the second death, and that's not you. That's at the great white throne judgment, and you're not qualified to go there. So stop having bad dreams about that. You've been brought to life, and now your spirit is never going to die again. Amen. Now, you might wear your earth suit out. Some of us seem to be a little more efficient at preserving our earth suits than some. You know? But when you wear your earth suit out, your spirit has to go somewhere else. All you do is change addresses, but you did not die. Amen? Look at Hebrews. Well, let's see, I better finish where I'm at there. Hebrews 2. Okay. Verse 16 says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's us. Amen. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That'd be us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You know, we have a faithful high priest, and his name is Jesus, and he was tempted in all ways. You know, sometimes people feel a great sense of shame in the temptations that they face. They wonder why they can't fight these temptations off, fight these different sins off. Identify with Jesus and say, he already defeated this one for me. Amen? When we identify with him, we find things in common with him. When we find things in common with him, we find that we're yoked with him, and we find it more comfortable to learn of him and get more revelation of him. And the more revelation of him, the more of him is going to hit you. Amen? We're going to finish with this. John chapter 8, verse 28. There's two verses we're going to look at. I'll look at John chapter 8. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my Father. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. How in the world does that happen? Show you Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is your verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Says how God anointed Jesus. Now circle this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus of heaven. Jesus of Nazareth. A man on this earth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, God, didn't God say he would never leave you nor forsake you? How does he do that? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's everywhere. You're always anointed to do the job that God has sent you out to do once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people don't believe in that. Well, you're not going to receive something you don't believe. Amen? So don't worry about it. But here's the thing. Our job is to find ourselves in the Bible. I was talking to a guy where everybody's at the coffee shop, and this guy said his wife left. Yeah, after how many years? 20 years? I don't know. So he said, why? I said, well, she had to go find herself. That's what he said. She had to go find herself. You know how many times I heard that? Well, lady, you're going to stay lost forever until you open this thing up. This is where you find yourself. You know, Jesus had to find himself in here. Did you know that? He found himself in here. You know, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's us. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's you. This might be kind of hard to say, but say this out of your mouth. I am just like Jesus. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I have authority in his name to do just exactly what he did. And even greater things. So you got to say some of these things to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. Amen? You got to talk to yourself. You got to hear yourself say it. You know, the fastest way to learn something is to hear it. And the most authoritative way to hear something is your own voice. And God said to meditate on his word. That means literally say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why? So we can memorize it and go in contests? No. Because when you say something, here's something about your subconscious. Your subconscious does not know the difference between facts and lies. It does not know the truth from anything. All your subconscious is a computer that is wired to receive whatever information you feed into it. Whatever information you continually feed into that machine is what it's going to produce. If you continually feed fear into this fine-tuned thinking machine that you have, guess what's going to produce? Fear. If you continually feed this thing words of faith, guess what's going to happen? Faith. If you continually feed this thing words of healing, guess what's going to happen? Healing. God is not mocked. You will reap the crop that you sow. So if you're running around scattering out bad seeds, go ahead and pray for a crop failure and get it fixed and start sowing out some good seeds. Yeah. Well, what happens if I make a mistake and sow out a bad seed? You know what? We do have a God of grace. And we have a faithful high priest. Amen. That continually cleanses us from all sin. Say you slipped up and you said a bad thing. Okay, you made a mistake. You missed the mark. That's what sin means, to miss the mark. Just wash it off and go on. Amen? I actually heard somebody say, well, when you say a bad confession, then you got to start all over at the very beginning. You know, just got to start all over. Oh, my God, I'm never going to get this. I mean, some of the stuff I learned is like, you know, sometimes I can't even get to the bathroom without making a bad confession. Some, you know, literally, we're people. You know what God asks us to do is try. Try. Let him be God in your life and just try a little bit. Just put forth a little bit of effort and it's going to happen for you. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you that the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin, that we are totally forgiven. and that there is no condemnation to us as we're in Christ Jesus. Even when we blow it bad, Jesus is right there making intercession for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got homemade blueberry muffins. Got soft butter back here.